On the other hand, a decentralized system quite often is inefficient, cost inefficient, as well as you might not get a good level of expertise there because you're doing very small levels of service. A shared service model tries to agglomerate different groups together, puts them into a common governance system where the user and the provider have a common service level agreement through which services are provided. So you can get the customer focus, so you can get the service. At the same time, you bring efficiency as well as higher levels of expertise. We believe this should become a dominant model through which services are developed at the university. In many organizations which have moved towards a shared service model, we have also seen not only, they have not only seen an improvement in service quality, but also 30 to 35% reduction in cost. We have already had a number of these experiments within the university, and when we have done this experiment, the results have been very, very encouraging, both in terms of quality of service, level of service, as well as achieving even greater than 30% cost reduction. So we would, our group would strongly recommend this become a model for delivery of service. Our group also looked into our internal business processes. All institutions put some type of control on their business processes, either internally or sometimes it is put through regulation. Such controls are important because they are intended to mitigate against risk of certain business processes, mitigate against risk of contracts that the university might be entering into, and put some sort of boundary around which business is done. So controls are important and need to continue. But at the same time, it's important that we look and review how we implement those controls. Controls can often become obsolete because of changing technology, because the way the business processes change. So there are a number of internal business processes, for example, which are really governed by the general rules as is written, which we think that the board should review for potential. For example, I'll just give you one example. We do about 10,000 contracts. The university does over 10,000 contracts a year. The general rules now require that each one of these contracts, irrespective of the level of expenditure involved, have very many multiple levels of authorization, as well as they have to be all paper-based and be signatures, paper signatures, and then archived in paper. We believe in this, at this time, we can transform most of that into electronic systems, saving time, saving space, saving paper, and saving cost. And we do not believe that that would reduce any level of control that the system already has. So you can improve the system while still mitigating all the risks that it was intended to mitigate. So we need to look at these rules, and our committee will point to a number of areas where we feel such that. The same way I think we have to work with the state about certain state regulations that put similar kinds of controls, which we believe can, again, be alleviated without any loss of risk mitigation, especially in the areas of purchasing. Many states, for example, have very different purchase procurement codes for higher education because of this very specific nature of higher education purchasing that's done. We still need those codes, but they need to be modified in many instances to suit the business needs of higher education. So our report will again point to a number of these areas. The question then is, where do we go from here when our report is sort of released in the next 2 weeks? We believe we can release our report. Our target date is June 15th, as we had promised the board when we first came up in January. Once our report will provide a number of these recommendations and options, I think at that point, the president and the chancellors need to put together a process for selecting this option, and then really establish a process for implementing those options. It is the experience of most institutions that projects like this do not get implemented correctly without the constant leadership from the very top. So, and at the same time also assigning some individual or some group with clear responsibility with deadlines, timelines, milestones, and reporting back to the board on this. One other thing that we strongly believe that the university needs is to create a stronger management information system, which is more focused on monitoring cost of delivering services. Like in most institutions, management systems often get geared towards financial accounting necessities rather than internal management accounting necessities. I think we have to create a parallel effort in creating the best management information system to be able to monitor a lot of our service delivery costs. Right now, we often find it very difficult to really tease out all the different costs because of the highly decentralized nature of our spending to find all those costs. We need to create that system. Finally, as Craig already mentioned before, this cannot be a once and done effort. We need to inculcate a culture of continuous improvement, which we already have, but we needs to be reinforced and continued to go through efforts like this. I'm going to hand it over to Craig for some closing comments.
One last slide, I promise. Thanks for your patience here. We did not begin the work with an idea of actually giving the trustees any recommendations. The whole idea here was to provide advice and counsel to the president and the chancellors. But we did find it important as we began to wrap up our work to call out a number of areas, and you'll see on this last slide here those that we thought important. And maybe the first is the most important in terms of cost savings, making the university nimble. And the language there is a little bit of code for whether or not we're going to operate like a university or whether we're going to operate like a system of campuses. And I think the committee is advising that the best opportunity here for us to work together to coordinate and manage administrative systems is best done when we think of ourselves as a single university with three campuses and operate within that structure. We have found very few instances where academic programs at the campuses would compel us to do things differently administratively in business protocols, information technology, physical plant programs, and on and on and on. And so our urging to the board is to give a clear signal as to the basic framework around which you expect administrative services to be delivered. And in our judgment, that's best done when we look at ourselves as a single university. The second one we mentioned earlier on the advocacy side, again, not only administrators dealing with each other across the three agencies, but we think there may be a place here for the boards, perhaps the chairs of the boards, perhaps others to work closely together, the strength that we have in the foundation, an army of 600,000 plus now in the Alumni Association. Lauren Taylor, who's president of the Alumni Association, is here with us this morning. We've called out in the report the Illinois Connection Program that Lauren runs as perhaps the best example of an integrated program bringing all three entities together. So we've got some good platforms. But this is an area we would really urge the board to spend some time on. Avijit mentioned earlier government regulation. Trustee McMillan was working last night, along with others, on a couple of the senators we had in our grasp on looking at deregulation. New York has done it. New Jersey's done it. Nevada's done it. There are ample opportunities here for us to look at those things, whether it's development, alumni relations, government, and the like. The general rules, again, the university has a habit of deep consultation whenever changes are required. We think that's appropriate, but we're at a time now where perhaps speed should trump perfect. And there are some things that we could take to the board fairly soon that would help streamline activities and bypass a lot of the internal consultation. The committee, broadly represented, believes that this is the case. The fourth bullet up there we've also reinforced because of the importance of what's happening with pension systems, the relationships with other agencies on benefits. If we were to call out one area where perhaps some specialized service on the outside is required, it's probably in the HR area. And then finally, to ensure that these things are recommended, we would implore the board to ask that a review of the work here be done, looked at again in 6 months and then probably again in 12 months. My only final comment is to say, with everything we're doing here, we need to be careful that we don't strip the administration bare, and that all we have are people who have enough time to operate, not enough time to think. I said in January, and I think it's worth repeating, we can't run an A-plus academy with a C-minus administration. And so we all have a bad habit of attacking overhead and administrative costs, and surely we will do more here, but we need to make sure we don't cross a line where we've eroded the services to important constituents on the inside. Thanks for your patience, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Craig and Avijit, and to your committee, and we look forward to the final report. Open to questions.
Annette, I would congratulate the committee and the team for what sounds like tremendous work. I feel a need just to address the issue of whether or not we're three campuses and one system or one university with three campuses. I don't think that fundamental question should be determined by efficiency or cost savings or speed. I think that really needs to be considered in light of our special mission as a land grant or public university that demands full engagement in the communities and service to our state. And I think that mission really needs to be developed within the spirit of the co-governance structure that we've inherited and that we embrace. And I hope we'll have time to do that with the other governing bodies. But I applaud generally the work that's going on.
Other questions?
Yeah. Karen? I'd just like to caution that as we go through these administrative changes, purchasing and acquisition of contracts and all that business and consolidating everything, that we keep in mind that if we are to have any diversity whatsoever in the expenditures of university money, we have to develop policies that will, in effect, complement this administrative structure that we're talking about changing. And that was just a matter of caution that I'd like to raise, because I hadn't heard any mention of it in the course of the presentation.
Good point. Karen?
I think it might help us all if you would comment on the reality of the pension reform. It's been so new, and I think it would be interesting for us to see exactly how we should relate that to the faculty in the future. Could you just give us a few minutes talking about exactly what the pension reform means?
I can do it, but if you want. The new pension reform was passed and becomes effective on January 1 for all incoming new people. And is the provisions of this new is quite different from what the existing provisions are. And a major provision is the limit of how much your salary could be covered through the pension system. There's a limit right now of $107,000. So for the matter of the pension, $107,000 is considered the maximum salary. So anybody whose salary is above $107,000, the additional portion is not covered to the pension system. So I think the major issue for us is what happens to people when you're trying to attract faculty and others. Whose salary might be greater than $107,000, that's a loss of benefit that's involved, and it makes us somewhat uncompetitive with other institutions who do not have that restriction.
Does that get to your question, Karen?
Yeah, I think it's good for us all. That's a very big issue.
Mm-hmm. Avijit, could you explain the health care reform and cap and trade next?
I can try to cap and trade.
I think that puts us at a significant competitive disadvantage, which at some point we need to address. How will that be addressed?
I think the process as the person has already put into a process of looking into that question.
Yeah, we have an internal study group that is looking at that now, just getting started, and I'm sure in a few months they'll be coming back to the committee and ultimately to the board with likely some options that could be looked at that would begin to